Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Chet, and we missed out yesterday on hearing Sir Richard's Berlin letter, so I don't know, we may have to actually chazer the entire previous parak today, because Richie didn't say Berlin letter. So, Rich, do you think we should start at Parak Shlishi?
Yeah, I guess I could give a belated. Sorry about that, Rabbi. I woke up late and I had to catch the last minion, so I rushed to the end.
Oh, I'll tell you, we improvised, Rich. We improvised.
I'm sure you had a monthly.
But Gershi came today because he figured we're going to do a chazor the whole previous parak. I don't know. Okay, so we're starting today, Benochus Daf Lamed Chet, the fourth perek, HaTechelet, famous perek, and we finished talking about the various things in the previous perek, in which not having one thing is ma'akev the other thing. So we listed a lot of things in which if you don't have the whole thing, then you don't have anything. And in this perek, we're going to list things where actually you can have things that are related, but nonetheless are not ma'at of each other. Why all of this appears in Masechet Menachot? That's a good question. Why is this the marker of all of the various issues of ikuv or non-ikuv? I don't know. Possibly, could it be that the getter of a mincha is that it is a separate korban, and yet nonetheless, when brought together with your korban of a behema, with your shlamim, or with your eila, it is an unusual relationship in terms of the minchas nesachim, that it's part of the korban, and yet it's not ma'akev the korban, it has its own identity, but it doesn't exist separately from the korban, and yet one is not ma'akev the other. Okay, mate. In any event, let's begin the list of things that one thing is not ma'akev the other. So we know that we have two separate dinim when it comes to tzitzit. We have the white threads, which we learn out from ha'kenaf, min kenaf, as we'll see later. And we also have the p'til techelet. That p'til techelet that you're supposed to put on your other chute lavan, what does it mean, p'til techelet? It's actually a very big machlokes, as I'm sure you know, in which Tosfos holds that it's half and half, so that you have two lavan and two techelet, in which the Ravid holds it's one out of the four, which yields you two out of eight, and the Rambam holds it's actually a half out of the four, which gives you one p'til techelet that will be hanging with your tzitzit. So there's very different approaches to it, but in any event, the techelet, if you don't have techelet, that doesn't mean that you don't have the lavan and you're not yotze with the lavan. And if you don't have lavan, that doesn't mean that you don't have the mitzvah of tchelet. Now, what does that mean? Let's take a look at the next piece in the Mishnah, which says that tefillah shel yad inam akevet et shel rosh, v'shel rosh inam akevet et shel yad. Now, over there, it's clear what it means. If you have only one tefillah, wear that one, and that one you can make a bracha on. If you have only a tefillah shel yad, wear your tefillah shel yad. If you have only a tefillah shel rosh, wear your tefillah shel rosh. It does not mean that if you have no tefillah shel yad, you should put on two tefillah shel rosh, obviously. And yet, strangely, when it talks about the previous case, about the lavan inam akev tzachelet and vice versa, it means not that you could get along with only the two threads or the three threads or the three and a half threads of the lavan, according to the Rambam. It means you have to actually replace the tefillah thread with a lavan that will take its place, and vice versa. You can't get along just with the tefillah. You're going to have to switch. Oh, you're going to have to actually switch all of those lavans that you don't have for tefillah threads. So, in other words, you're always going to have the same four threads that are going to be put through your baget at each corner. So, it seems to mean very different things. The first part of the Mishnah from the second part of the Mishnah. So, we're going to have to keep that in mind as we go through and try to see why that would be the case. So, lema mati tinta lo karepis. First of all, the basic contention of this Mishnah, which is that they are not ma'akev each other, seems to be fundamentally the opposite of everything that Rebbe says in the following Braita. It says, Uri item oto. Now, note that it says you should see it. What's it? It's not it. I mean, it speaks about a number of things, and yet it calls it all one thing. That means malame shima akvin zeh. So the kanaf that you put the originally on, you have to put on that tzitzit. So we have tzitzit hakanaf, and then you put v'natnu al tzitzit hakanaf petil techelet. And then it calls those two things together oto. I mean, isn't it a lot of things? Shouldn't it be re'item oto? The lavan and the techelet, Rich, please mute. So Rebbe says that teaches us that actually they're all one thing, and that this teaches us that they are ma'akvim zelzeh, which of course is the opposite of our Mishnah. V'chachamim omrim, that seems to say like our Mishnah, that ein ma'akvim. So where exactly did Rebbe get that from? I'm not quite sure I understood. Well, read the pasuk. It says haknaf. So before identifying any colored string, it says tzitzit hakanaf. So these are, there are already tzitzit there on that kanaf that are seen as extensions of the kanaf, which implies that they should be min kanaf. Whatever the beged that you're wearing is, the standard beged, of course, is the beged, normal, normative beged, once upon a time was a beged that was linen, and those are therefore lavan, which would mean that the min kanaf would be uncolored threads. And on that it says, al tzitzit hakanaf til techelet. So you got two completely different things, and then the Torah says, ritem oto. Well, what is oto? It implies that there's got to be one unit that combines these two things. So you see that they absolutely are ma'akiv one to the other. Each one is critical to the operation of the other. And how did the Rabbanan deal with that? They say, no, you're absolutely right. Oto is very important. But you know why it says oto? It says oto to point out that you should not consider these things to be necessary as a group. You could even see oto, even see one of them. So whatever you've got is an iritam oto. So they use the pasuk to mean exactly the opposite of Rebbe. But anyway, it's pretty clear, is it not, that our Mishnah is definitely not like Rebbe. I mean, Rebbe says, Melamed Shema Akvim says, and the Mishnah says, Eina Ma'akvim. It's not going to be any way to make that work, is there? Omer Yud Omer Rav, there is indeed. And Afilu Tema Rebbe. This Mishnah is not necessarily going according to the Chachamim, will argue on Rebbe and say, Inama Akvim Zed Zed. Maybe the Mishnah was not talking about the presence of Lavan and Tcheles. Maybe it was referring to the order of Lavan and Tcheles. So, Nitzcha Ela Lekadim. And there's definitely an issue that we haven't really brought to the surface, because if you take a look at this Braita, there's a question of the order, the proper order of making your tzitzit. So it says in the Braita, mitzvah lahakdim lavan l'tchelet. So it says, the first it mentions the tzitzit hakanaf, and then it's natnu al tzitzit hakanaf til tchelet, which makes it pretty clear that first you've got to have your tzitzit hakanaf present, and then you can put your p'til tchelet on them. But you don't put the p'til tchelet in and then add the tzitzit hakanaf. So therefore, it should be essentially a question of kedima. Maybe that's what the Mishnah is talking about, because it says over here in that very same Braita that even though it's a mitzvah to be makdim, if you did it the other way around, v'imigdim tchelet l'lavan, if you put the tchelet in first, you would be yotze. Now that's the way Rashi understands it. And however, it is pretty strange of a pshat, because there's no indication in the final product as to which one was put in first. And it's difficult to believe, as other Rishonim learn, it's difficult to believe that the nafgamina of how you put it there in the first place, which that doesn't really impact the tzitzit at all, should be something that would be even a havamina, that it could be ma'akev. I mean, it's not the asiyah of the tzitzit that is important, is it? So, I mean, it's the wearing of the tzitzit. Anyway, the other approach is the question, which is very nogea, how it is that you make the tzitzit, which string is first wrapped around the group of strings that were there. So since it says, al tzitzit akanaf til techelet, the mashma'ut is that you first start going around the chulya. The chulya, remember, the tzitzit is first made out of the ptilim that you put as loose hanging, and then you're going to make out of it a braid, and that part of that braid is going to be on the top part. We're going to be learning all of this out of the psukim, and then you have the loose ptilim sticking out of the bottom of the braid, and the braid itself is made out of different groupings, chulyot, with knotting between them, which we're going to be talking about later today. So the question over here is, what goes on top? Does the tchelet start the winding around the braid? And that means that every chulya would begin with tchelet, or is it the lavan that begins it? So what it says over here in terms of the order is actually noted in the final product. So that could be what the Mugamara was referred to here in the Braita. But whatever it is, it's not Ma'akev, and the thing is, you'd be Yotze, Ela Shechiser Mitzvah, you wouldn't have the full mitzvah. What does that mean? You wouldn't have the full mitzvah. I mean, didn't we just have a machlokes about the question of whether you are need to have the other one at all? So if you're Chiser Mitzvah, then how in the world could you also have the mitzvah? Since remember, according to Rebbe, if you don't have one, so then you're actually not going to have the other one, and it will be ma'akev. So if chiser mitzvah means what it says, that literally chiser mitzvah de lavan, since you did it wrong, you don't have the mitzvah of the lavan, but at least you were mekayim the mitzvah of the tcheles, but that doesn't make any sense. If you don't have the mitzvah of the lavan, then for all intents and purposes, you don't have lavan there. And if you don't have lavan there, according to Rebbe, that would be ma'akev. So it can't work out according to Rebbe. The Braita says he was Yotze. So what does it mean that he's chiser a mitzvah? Rav Yonam Rav, it means you were chiser a mitzvah, meaning the mitzvah to actually put in the lavan, but you did the mitzvah of tzitzit, is what it means. And therefore, what it's basically telling me is that you didn't do the mitzvah min ha-mufchar, is what it boils down to, because there was an element of the mitzvah that you were chaser, but that element is not ma'akev. And what was that element? The element of the kedima. Fine. Okay. Says the Gemara, well, that goes 50% of the way to explaining how the Mishnah could work out according to Rebbe. But it sure doesn't go the whole way. Because that works by saying lavan is not ma'akev the tchelis, meaning the presence of the lavan there first does not mean that the tchelis that you put in is not going to be kosher for the mitzvah of tchelis. But how do you explain it the other way? Tchelis is not ma'akev the lavan. Well, obviously, it's not supposed to be there first. It's the lavan that's supposed to be there first, and then you put in the tchelis. What do you mean? Well, you could still put in your lavan even though you didn't put in your tchelis. That's crazy. So by saying that the Mishnah is referring to the Seder, the Kedima, you're making no sense out of it at all. Skip the next line because it actually appears later. So skip Amar Rabbi Bar Chama, the Lo Nitzracha. It's not Mashma that's a correct Girsa. It seems very clear in the Shita that it's not meant to be there. There's no Dibra Maskal on it here in Rashi. In this place, it's probably a mistake where it was put on in from the next, after a few lines later. And Itmanami, we had the same situation where Shmuel was trying to say the same answer. Rav was explaining the Mishnah, and he said, well, maybe it could work out according to Rebbe in terms of Kedima. And Shmuel also tried to say that it would be a din in kedima, and Levi said, that's ridiculous, Aryoch. He called Shmuel Aryoch. Aryoch is a lashon of the king. Why is he the king? Because he is the one that we always paskin like, benagia, anything in dine momenis. So he's like the king that defines the law of the land, the civil law of the land. So we find these names given to Shmuel, the Melech, Elasar, you know, okay. So they called him Aryoch. That was so sweet. Anyway, so he said to Lotese Vakaracha de Mefarashat Lilaha Milsa. So I ask you to stand there. Don't even sit down. I mean, it should be very simple. You're explaining the Mishnah. Explain when it says Atchelet Einam Akev Et HaLavan, VaHaLavan Einam Akev Et Atchelet. What is that supposed to mean? Because if you're claiming that it goes according to Rebbe, what does it mean? And Shmuel tried saying the same thing. Yeah, no, it's referring to a sadin betzitzit. So you've got over there the situation. You're wearing, you're putting your, this beautiful white talit around you, which is essentially a sheet. And now, can you put in those tzitzit? Well, of course, even though it's Shabbos, you put in those tzitzit of Tehelet. But what the Mishnah is coming to tell me is that you should always have your white tzitzit threads there first. Why? Because first it says in the pasuk, tzitzit hakanaf, and the tzitzit hakanaf are the min kanaf. And if, however, you were mocked in the treles, the Mishnah is saying that is not going to be ma'akev. So when it says ena ma'akev, it's ena ma'akev in terms of kidumit, which is precisely what it is that Rav had tried to say. And right then and there, the Gemara asked on Shmuel, what's that supposed to mean? The second part makes no sense because Trelet, of course, is not Ma'akev. It's not even supposed to be there. The Lavan is supposed to be there first. And here is where Rami Bar Chama is actually mentioned, referring to both Rav and Shmuel's problem. Chama, Rami Bar Chama. Well, what about a situation where you have a talit that is entirely made of tchelet? So what would the min knaf be over there? It would be tchelet, because the min of the knaf, the beged itself, is a beged of tchelet. So in that case, it would be a mitzvah to be marked in the tchelet, right? Because, I mean, even the knaf is tchelet. So it's coming to say that if you didn't put in tchelet, you put in love on first, that we don't care. Oh, my brother, well, that's crazy. The colors are not important to us. I mean, it's not the color of whatever the knaf happens to be that determines what you're supposed to put in. The min knaf is a general rule in which there's supposed to be love on in its tzitzis. That's all. You don't make your effort over here to put in treles because you had a wool beged with treles and different. Where does that come from?
The colors are immaterial.
Nice. Very nice. Okay, so, I mean, it doesn't make sense. What do you mean, Chelos is Dama? Of course it's not. I'll tell you what it's talking about. I have a different approach, which I think adds up simply without making us all twisted around. And therefore, Ella Amar Rava, you know what the Mishnah is talking about? It's referring to Gardumim. Gardumim is, remember, as we've seen before, when it was Nogea, the question of Gardumi Ezov we spoke about earlier. So over here, you have your tzitzis that are torn. Now, the question is, how much would be kosher, your tzitzis remain kosher, despite the fact that the ptilim have been torn off? So what the Mishnah is actually saying is that either way, let's say you started off with beautiful kosher pair of tzitzis, and then your treles was torn off, and all you have is a little bit at the bottom, but your only tzitzit is you have the lavan, or vice versa. Suppose all your lavan was pulled off, and you only have a little bit at the end, the gardumi, but you have your treles threads. Doesn't matter. Either way, says the Mishnah, it would still be kosher. We're going to see later on how long that has to be. You're talking about Gardumim. Lichatchila, we're supposed to have, as we'll see later on, we're supposed to have Yud Bez Etzbos. But if you don't, and you just have Gardumim, it would be kosher no matter which of the threads are the Gardumim. The Amri B'nei Rebbe Chia, Gardumei Techelet are Kisherim. And it doesn't mean only the tchelet. Remember, we refer to tzitzit as a whole when we're talking in general terms. We call your tzitzit your tchelet. It doesn't mean the tchelet is opposed to lavan. He's just saying that if you have stubs left on tzitzit, so that's enough to be makshir if you started off with a kosher tzitzit. And gardume ezov kasher, if you need your ezov to use for doing the hazah of the para aduma, that's also kosher if it started off with the shear. The shear was a tefach. And now you have just a little bit that's left over. That's also good. And that's what the din is in the Mishnah. And what is that shear? What is considered to be gardumim? That it should be enough. That it should be kosher. Omar bar Hamduri, Omar Shmuel, kidei la'anvan. The point would be to make a simple knot. Now, remember, it's a little bit confusing because the lashon of anav is usually to make, like what we're talking about, the dinim of Shabbos. What kind of knot can you make in your shoes? So over there, of course, it would mean a loop and not a knot. But the din of kidei la'anvan, actually the pashtus of it simply means enough to be able to put one piece around the other and through it. It doesn't mean that you have to have enough, which is much more, to make a loop. So just to make a simple knot, the simplest kind of knot, and that is sufficient for the gardumim. So when you say that, does that mean to put it all of them together in a simple knot? So that if there's enough of your tzitzit, that you could take all of the tzitzit and you could put them through each other into a simple knot. Is that what you're talking about? So la'anvan kulu bahadade? So you're going to tie them all? Or do you mean a particular thread, each one of them, of the ptilim, is measured by its ability to be turned into a knot, and as long as it can be turned into a knot, so then it is considered to be a shear if you started off with the shear. Is that what you mean? Kol chad v'chad v'chude. Take that is not so posh. Now, what does that mean lahalacha? It's very interesting. What does that mean lahalacha? So that's dependent on a machlokas rishonim about whether the din that you need that shear is a diaraisa or whether that shear is a derabona. If it's a teiku and a diaraisa, then obviously you're going to have to be machmir, and that's actually how the Rosh paskins. If you only have gardumim that are enough for this particular thread to be turned around itself into a knot, but it can't include the other threads, that's not going to be kosher. And those tzitzit are no good. But the Rambam holds, apparently, I mean, because he doesn't talk about it at all, that these shiurim of gardumim are really only in a derabbanan. Therefore, it doesn't really matter. He doesn't talk about the issue of whether they all need to be nigrum or not. So apparently, paskin is kula. What about this? I got another question. Suppose, as you know, you can order different tzitziot, right? You can order a very thick tzitziot if it's for your talit, and you can order very thin tzitziot if it's for your talit katan. So what if you have very thick tzitziot? And because of that, obviously, the thicker the threads are, the more difficult it is. You're going to need more room in order to flip it around itself and to tie it, right? So your knot is going to be demanding more thread in order for it to hold. So what if it's very thick thread and you do not have enough to make a knot? But if it was this length and it was thin, it would have been fine. It would have been easy to make a knot with it. So what's been over there? Is this a halacha in the potential, or is it the halacha in the actual thread that you have that are the gedumim? Omer le Rav Acha, b'rei de Rav le Rav Ashi. Look, the more recognizable it is, what is gardumi all about? The meaning of the gardumi is that it's something that still shows the tzitzit to be there. So then if it's thicker, and it's the same length that it would have been if it's thinner, how could that be worse? It should be better because it's more recognizable. So you're not making things worse by making it thicker, are you? So kosher king, the minkar mitzvatayu. If it's thicker, it's even better because it's got the right length and it's got even a stronger presence. Okay, so now you want to tell me, it's a little bit kvetchy, but you want to tell me that the Mishnah never meant to say that the existence of the treles and the lavan together is not ma'akev. It is ma'akev, maybe, according to Rebbe. But all we're talking about over here is the Kedima, either according to Rashi, in the making of the Tzitzit, in terms of which one you put in first, or according to the other Rishonim, in terms of what you start putting around, which thread you use to put around the other threads. So what's your Shamish thread first? So Mantani the Polaga later, Rebbe. So remember, when you're dealing with the Lavan, this is not really any kind of problem. People have one thread that they leave longer, and that thread is the thread that you use to put around. But when you have a Tchelet, and the Tchelet also has to show up in the different chuliot that you're going to be making, then it's important to determine. So which one starts the chulia? Is it the lavan or is it the Tchelet? Okay, now we have the pshat in the Mishnah. Who exactly are those chachomim that argue with Rebbe? And what we haven't really discussed what their shita is. So man tana de polega leider Rebbe. It's the following tana. The tanya Rebbe Yitzchak omer mishum Rebbe Natan, she'omar mishum Rebbe Yosi Haglili, she'omar mishum Rebbe Yochanan ben Nuri. So basically, in the end, it is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri who is the source of the din that if you don't have Tchelet, instead of the Tchelet, you are Matil Lavan, and you can add the Lavan instead of the Tchelet. This, as we said, seems to be the meaning. This is what the Tosfos discusses over here. Why is it different than the Tefillin Shel Rosh and the Tefillin Shel Yad? And it discusses the sugya as it appears all over and recognizes that it's clear that this is the pshat. It's not that you are actually going to make tzitzit with only two lavans, according to Ishita, or three lavans, and that's it, because you don't have any tchelas. You would always have four threads. So now, Omar Rava, it seems to me to be clear about one thing over here, and that is, if you're telling me that you can use gardunim, and that gardunim is enough, and this is what Amri b'nei Rebbe Chiya, gardume tchelet kisherim, then that implies that it must be that you are supposed to be making knots on every one of the chuliyot in the gedil. So remember, in your tzitzit, you have the initial petil that you put in, the petilim. You make those into a gedil, which is a braid. And then from the bottom of the gedil, you have the petilim coming up, right? At that extent. And what we're talking about in these gardumim is where a thread was torn. It's gone all the way back up to the gedil. And we're saying, according to the B'nai Rebbe Chiya, that if it's long enough to make a knot, so then it's going to be kosher. But isn't that a little bit weird? Because, I mean, you know, as well as I know, that if you've got a tiny bit of thread sticking out, I mean, look at your own tzitzit. There's no way that that knot is going to hold. Take a look at the way that the knots loosen after time, right? Always loosening. Now, if you would only have a little tiny bit of gardumi that would be sticking out of that knot's going to fall apart. Because just to have a gardumim is not going to keep it. And if the knot falls apart, so then you don't have a gedil. If you don't have a gedil, you basically don't have tzitzis. Lechora. So first of all, Rava, we're going to see that Rava essentially holds that you don't need the gardumim to be long enough. And that we're wondering about how many of them are there. He holds that gardumim are kosher, meaning whatever is left of your original tzitzis, even if in these threads that stick out, there's no shear at all. Okay, so if there's no shear at all, then it makes no sense, because then there's no threads that are left that are going to be holding the knot in place. And then that would mean that the entire thing is going to be pulled apart. Now, Rav is making a further assumption that in the event that you would not have that, the gedil, you would not have kosher tzitzis. So That itself is a machloket, and it's not at all necessarily true, because we're going to see tomorrow that there's a shita that holds that even if all you have is ptilim and you don't have any gedil, it would be kosher. Obviously, Rava holds that that is not true, and that we need a specific shear and a specific number of threads that are left is not true. And when you say gardumim, you mean if your tzitzis have nothing left on them sticking out of the gedil, they would still be kosher. And if that's the case, then there's got to be another knot above this knot, or we should say below, because we're going to be calling this the Kesher Elyon, as we'll see later. And you see from here that you need more than the knot at the end. You need to be kosher. Al kol chulya v'chulya. So, you know, the different minhagim about how many twists you have in one, what's connected to shame, or whether it's connected to the various rikim and the distance between, and so on, you know, that we'll talk about later. But whatever the length of those chulyot are, each one needs to end with a knot that keeps it in place. Because the Sakadaitach lo tzarich, how could the B'nai Rabbi Chiya have said that gardume techelet are kosher, along with the gardume ezov, kiven de ishtere eloi kulai? Since the top knot refers to what we would think would be called the bottom knot, because we're assuming that we're looking at the tzitzis when we're wearing them, but the truth is the top knot is as we're making the tzitzis, and this is the knot that comes out on top. So we refer always to that lowest knot as the top, the uppermost knot. So kiven de ishtere le'iloi, once that top knot is actually undone, then ishtere le'kula. Then the whole gedil is going to fall apart. And if the gedil falls apart, I'm assuming that the tzitzit are not kosher. So it must be that there's a lot of knots that are going to be going underneath a knot, which of course is the way that we make it. Says the Gemara, look, you're right that they would need to be there, but how do you derive from that you have to make them be there? Maybe all that Rabbi Chiya was saying is, look, if you have a minute to make other knots, and you have other knots, so you don't have to worry about the fact that the strings that are sticking out, the ptilim, that are sticking out from the area that was directly above it, you don't have to worry about that, because it's gardumim, and the gedil has got other knots. Obviously, if you didn't make those other knots, it's going to be kosher, but it won't be kosher with gardunim. So you can't bring a raya from what may simply be a case. The case was, it's talking about that indeed, dilma de iktar. It means that this guy was making really nice tzitzit, and he made his gedil, and he made these beautiful chuliot, and between each chulia v'chulia, he went ahead and he made a knot. So therefore, said B'nai Rabbi Chiya, in such an event, then even if you don't have anything left at the end of the bottom knot, it doesn't matter, because a tzitzit is kosher even as gardume tzitzit. So we do not have a raya. What Rava was claiming is not very much of a raya. Okay, tomorrow we will continue on with additional possibilities here. Barnea is still doing tnufa from yesterday. What happened? It already was lan. It became possibilina.
We waived that requirement.
So let us take a look now at our... We still have a little time. Let us go to our Masechet Yadayim.
I just want to say thank you to those who responded to Rosh Chodesh for the mitmins. It was very, very helpful. We've advanced. We could use more, but I want to thank all those who contributed.
You post. I didn't see it. You posted the info on where?
On Daf.
Well, on the Daf. Okay.
I'll repost.
Okay, Bezrat Hashem. So let us start this new recording. And Richie wants to make up for his unfortunate lap. Oh, I think he left us. He doesn't even give me a chance to bother him. Mishnah Bet. How do we start this? Today's Mishnah in Masechet Yadayim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is Perek Shlishi. Is that what we're up to? Mishnah Beit? Is that what you said? Okay. So yesterday we had a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yeshua. What the din is l'gabi a sheni l'tuma? Can a sheni l'tuma actually create the tumas yadayim? So continuing today, kol ha'poselet ha'truma. So what passes truma? Truma is pasul with a sheni. It makes it not a shlishi betuma, but it makes it pasul. And remember, pasul means that it can't pass its tuma further on, but it itself is unusable. So that would mean if anything is capable of passing truma, which by definition means that it's a sheni letuma, that is going to be enough to be matami et hayadayim, and it will be mechayev you in a netilas yadayim, and will turn your hand into something that's tame. And because of that, hayad mitama et chaverta. So if one of your hands has touched a sheni letuma, that hand itself is one of the dinim of the takon of netilat yadayim, is that the hand becomes a sheni letuma when it's tamei, and therefore it would make the other hand, even though it itself didn't touch anything but its other hand pair, it would make it also tamei. So if a person had touched the sheni letuma with one hand, and then his other hand touches that hand, then both of his hands require the tilas yadayim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim nomrim, ein sheni oseh sheni. The rule is, there's no such thing as a sheni betuma to be metame something else, to be a sheni. A sheni can only make a shlishi, and that is in places where you're talking about truma and kodesh, but not something other than that. So it would only be a psul and would not be a sheni, and therefore, what would be the possibility of making your hands into a sheni? Says Rabbi Yeshua, how can you say that? Amar lehen, what about Kitvei HaKodesh? Are we not agreed that the special takona on Kitvei HaKodesh, and we know, we just had back in Masechet Zavim, that Kitvei HaKodesh have a din of Sheni Letuma. And remember what the reason was for that in the Yud Ches Davar, that people used to put their Truma next to the Kitvei HaKodesh, because they said, look, both of these are Kodesh, they require Shmira, so let's put our Truma in the same place, which encouraged rats and mice to come next to the Kisvei HaKodesh, because they were attracted by the food, and they ended up nibbling and being mafsid the Kisvei HaKodesh. So this was originally a takona that was made in order to protect Kisvei HaKodesh. So Manela, they said, Kisvei HaKodesh are a sheni letuma. So you'd be crazy to put your truma next to them, because then your truma will become possible, because a sheni is going to possible them. So this was one of the Yud Ches Davar, right? Now, isn't the din over there, as we saw in Zavim, that Kitvei HaKodesh are mitam'im et ayadayim? And this is also basically in order for people to take seriously the takon, because it seems so strong. Come off it. Kisvei HaKodesh making truma tame. That's ridiculous. So as part of the chizik of that takona, they were metakein that if you touch Kisvei HaKodesh with your bare hands, that's why we're always makpid to use something else to touch the Kisvei HaKodesh, not to be mafsi then. So it's metame yadayim also. So that means you see very clearly, why are you telling me a sheni cannot make a sheni? And over here, the sheni is making a sheni very clearly. You're not going to argue on them. It's a whole sugya in Shabbos. Amrulo, that doesn't prove a darn thing to us. Because ein danin divrei Torah mi divrei sofrim. Velo divrei sofrim mi divrei Torah. Velo divrei sofrim mi divrei sofrim. If you're talking about divrei sofer, they're not meant to be internally consistent, because they are responses to needs that needed to be put into places of mishmeret, and they don't necessarily fit with the dinim of the Torah, obviously. I mean, the very concept of having yadayim that are tameos is absurd. Either you're tamei or you're not tamei. How could your hands be tamei? That makes no sense. And if there's tuma there, how could just pouring water over them make you tar? So all of those things are not meant to be consistent with the dinim in the Torah. They are extensions of concepts of Tumah v'Tzairah in order to make people more aware of the proper hanhaga. And therefore, bringing the araya from the fact that in order to be mekayim the takana of the sheni l'tumah that would pasul truma of kisvei hakodesh, that we made them be mitami yadayim, you're going to try to build on that and say, so, you see, a sheni l'tumah is mitami yadayim. Nonsense. There's no such thing. You don't see anything of the sort. What you see is that hands that might end up making truma tamei because people put it around rats is what the Rabbanu goes on. That's all you see, because your maximum that you can learn from them is what type of things the Chachomim are makbin on. And therefore, do not bring the Araya to such a thing. Now, how about, since we're learning, after all, Menachas, we just finished the Sugya in Menachas, how about the Ritzuas of your Tefillin? So, Ritzuot HaTefillin, Ima Tefillin, Mitamot HaTayadayim. Since the... Yadayim, Gimel, Mishnah Gimel. Wow. Gotta cross my T's and dot my I's, let me tell you.
Rabbi was strapped for...
So Ritzuot Tefillin, Ima Tefillin. Remember that the dinim of Kisvei HaKodesh include the parshiyos of the Tefillin themselves, which are Kisvei HaKodesh. And therefore, anything that's attached to them is considered to be part of the Etzem Tefillin, the same way that we understand that the Tefillin, remember, we just saw in Menachos, that the idea of the parshiyos and the Tefillin are what it is that you're reading as you're looking at those Tefillin, and you see those parshiyot, and you're aware of those parshiyot. So the extension into the Ritzuot, so long as they're attached to the Tefillin, they have the same din as the Tefillin, and because of that, they would be Metami Yadayim, the same way that the Kitvei HaKodesh are Metami Yadayim, but only so long as they are part of your Tefillin. Obviously, once they are just Ritzuas that were once used for Tefillin, they're no longer considered to be a direct contact with the parshas of the Tefillin. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ritzuot Tefillin, Einan Mitamot Yadayim, the Takana was only on the actual parshiot, and the Tefillin themselves, which are the bayit to the parsha, yes. But the Ritzuot already would be an extension that the Chachomim never made as a Takana. Okay, Rabbosai, wonderful. Continuing on into Chodesh Adar, make sure that, especially in Chodesh Adar, your Ritzuas HaTefillin don't turn over, because it's V'na'afochu. We just had the whole sugya to be careful about not nishapichli Ritzuas HaShel HaTefillin.
And Cheles Mordechai.
And Cheles Mordechai, absolutely. Perfect for Adar. Thank you. Okay, go to everyone. Chodesh Tov and Mevorach. See you, Bezrat Hashem, normal time. I don't know if any time is normal, but regular time, I should say, tomorrow. Bezrat Hashem.